I'd like to talk a little bit about the fermented foods. I think by now, and again, we could be wrong, but I think by now everyone kind of is understanding that fermented foods are helpful for boosting the immune system. What I want to ask you is what do you think is more effective? Is it effective for boosting the immune system, or is it more effective for actually rebuilding the gut? I know it's somewhere in between, but what would you say it's the most effective for?
The fermented foods help you put all this important microbiota down into the gut. And one of the first things that they do is change the environment of the gut, because let's say it's a very nasty, poisonous, foul-smelling world, and so they've got to get down there and make it habitable for they probably won't survive in the beginning, but others coming after them do. And as they begin to catch hold and colonize, they here and there along the digestive tract, and then eventually grows, kind of like we colonize the country. You know, we had our little colonies all over, and then eventually, like there was a colony in Virginia and a colony in Massachusetts, but now there's people all the way across the country in all those areas. And so that's what you're doing in your gut, basically, is you're colonizing your gut. Now, the more colonized it becomes, the more you have an immune system. 75-80% of your immune system is determined by whether you have these microbiota living there inside of you. And you can wipe them out with one day on an antibiotic, which is why we always say if you're on an antibiotic for some reason, because you have a dangerous raging bladder infection and you're miserable, or a strep throat or something, a bad ear infection, antibiotics have a negative side to them. But if you look at the negative side and say, well, they're going to wipe out all the good bacteria, they're going to weaken the immune system, and then you come along with a solution and you strengthen the immune system and add in all the good bacteria, then the antibiotic you can use this antibiotic safely.
And now what if your gut is inflamed? So what if you have, say, something like leaky gut or some sort of issue where your gut is seriously inflamed? Can fermented foods actually cause a little bit more of a reaction to that, or will they be unable to, maybe latch on because there's too much mucus or something like that?
We have a special protocol for people with serious gut inflammation like colitis and Crohn's. The diet works really, really well for both those conditions, any gut dysbiosis, leaky gut or whatever. But, there's another diet out there now called GAPS, which has been, first it was, this, there was another gut diet called SCD, specific carbohydrate diet, and then GAPS came out as a reinvention of that, and then now GAPS has been reinvented again in 2010, and it's basically it's what we teach is our special gut protocol. In the very beginning, it's better to not eat a lot of food, but you want to puree what you're eating, and you don't want big scratchy food going through your digestive tract, so broths and pureed vegetables are the way to begin. But the foods we identify, while you're healing your gut, you want to also get your yeast infection under control. So the foods that you'll be eating are doing both. And, if you don't have a really inflamed gut, you wouldn't have to necessarily go on the broth and puree things. You can just eat what we recommend eating. But if you do have truly a wounded gut, it's better to follow our gut protocol.
Now, a lot of people are going to wonder, and you're going to answer it now, so they won't wonder anymore, what fermented foods are good, what are the best fermented foods to eat, and then and just kind of talk about, maybe like their benefits, each one.
The best one is the two, I'd say the top two are the fermented vegetables and the coconut kefir. There's something especially magically healing about them. As a matter of fact, in PowerPoints, autism conferences, doctors would stand up in the front of their room and recommend the coconut kefir to these mothers whose autistic children do have inflamed, wounded guts. And the first step in healing anybody is to heal the gut. So I always think those are the most important. But for people that can't always get them or you want more variety, we bring over from Australia some probiotic liquids, and you just need a couple ounces a day of those. One is called Coco Biotic, so it has coconut water in it, and it's not 100% coconut water. The coconut kefir is 100% coconut water, that's been fermented. We have a starter that you can ferment it with. Some people use grains to their own grains to ferment them. You want to heat the water so it's skin temperature, and then drop in your packet of culture starter, and then be sure that you put it in a glass jar with a tight, airtight lid, and then you set that on the counter. Now, I have this little heating pad I kind of put around mine and make sure that it's in an incubator, because in the wintertime especially, it's very, very important when you're fermenting foods that you keep a steady room temperature of about 70, 72 degrees. That's probably the most important thing in having a successful product turn out well, is to keep that temperature steady.
You said a heating pad? What kind of heating pad? Do you create it?
You know, no. There's a, if you go online, you can type in, they're warmers, plate warmers that women would, let's say she's a fantastic hostess and she wants her dinner plates heated. So it's like this long, skinny heating pad that you're supposed to snake around your dishes, you know, and you heat them and you pull them out and they're ready to serve your food on. But I love that thing. I'm glad I found it because, you know, if I can make it small, if I just have one jar fermenting, if I have six or eight jars of vegetables fermenting, I just kind of put it around there and it expands. But that's over the years, that's one of the handiest things I've found to keep that temperature steady. You know, it's funny because I'm in California, and in the day it can be nice and warm, like in the 70s. At night it plummets down to cold, and so that fluctuation in temperature will ruin your fermentation. So that steady temperature is critical.
Yeah, and we've seen it happen too while traveling.
Oh, yeah. But the culture vegetables are definitely hardier. Like I put up a batch last week, and really it was pretty chilly in the pantry where I put them, but kept going in there thinking, gosh, maybe I should put them. Yeah, I put up a lot because I have around me at this time a lot of pregnant women, and they're coming wanting to know what to do because they want to have real healthy babies in them. You know, so I've been making them and giving them away to people. So I made up this huge batch, so I put them all in the pantry. I didn't put anything over to warm them, but they turned out perfectly, even though the temperature, because cultured vegetables are hardy. Captain Cook took them on his voyages for a couple of years at a time in big wooden barrels, and, you know, temperature was fluctuating then. So if they couldn't get into land and get some fresh fruits and vegetables and all, they would get scurvy. And then if they ate the fermented vegetables and when they were out at sea for months at a time, they were very healthy. So they're very, very ancient foods. The Indians pounded them up and put them in crocks and put them in the ground. The Chinese, the Russians, like everybody has, it seems, these fermented foods in their culture and the fermented vegetables because they were survival foods. They allowed us to get through the winter. You know, we didn't have refrigeration until relatively recently.
Well, I want to talk about your newest book because I know that there are a lot of people who listen to our program and read our website and watch our videos who are baby boomers or at least somewhere around that age, and the new book is The Baby Boomer Diet. How does this differ from the body ecology diet? What's different for someone who's in their 50s, 60s, almost in their 70s now compared to, you know, someone who's in their 20s?
Well, it's first of all very different from the body ecology diet because that book, The Body Ecology Diet, I really wrote it to help people overcome this illness, this yeast infection. And you know, at first all kinds of people were writing in saying, well, my Parkinson's disappeared, my MS has gone away, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, well, you know, it's for yeast. But now I realize that yeast is underlying everything else that people are dealing with. So get rid of the yeast problem and all these other, you know, so-called diseases go away. But that book was written specifically for overcoming, for people that aren't well, that want to get well. The baby boomer diet, though, was written for people of any age. Like, I wish I had had this information when I was 30 instead of having to put it together over 35 years, you know, about why we age and, you know, and also it brings in all about the inner ecosystem and how that's created inside of our intestines, which is not in the first book. Also, it has amazing cutting-edge therapies. Like a lot of people think I do all types of plastic surgery and so on, but what I do are stem cells and trophic factors and all the things I'm talking about in the book. But they're therapies that are available to all of us today. And they are replacing You know, I think hormone replacement therapy, which I don't do either, and therapy, you know, the surgeries and things like that are not, they've been bridges for people that want to look better and look younger, but they don't really make you younger. You know, they make you look younger, but younger is like a vibrant, positive spirit with lots of energy, lots of flexibility to move your body. You know, we're looking at aging in the wrong way, really. And this book is defining, you know, why we age and what to do to stop and even reverse aging, but it also goes into these wonderful new therapies that are actually here now. And they may not be widely known at all. I usually tend to, you know, introduce new information to the world. A good 5 years are ahead of anybody else. So it's, you know, 5 years from now, it'll be just like we go to the dentist right now to have our teeth cleaned twice a year. It's going to be about as acceptable as that will be.
And so you said tropal factors, is that correct?
Trophic, T-R-O-P-H-I-C. Trophic factors are when they prepare the stem cells to go into somebody's body for various conditions, there's like a liquid left over, and they analyzed the liquid and found out that it has a lot of the same substances or proteins, peptides, and so on that the stem cells secrete when you put them in your body. So the stem cells will secrete them for about 4 months or so, but if you can get trophic factors, you can. It's like a juice, and you put it in like you're giving yourself, you know, like you're getting a shot, and it does many of the things that stem cells do, but it will be a more affordable therapy, and it won't be long before they're available to us here. I don't know why stem cells, you know, the whole thing is taking so long. I think doctors are slow to convert to it. They don't know how. They don't know it yet. They're in the stage of learning about it before they can feel comfortable, you know, recommending it to their patients. But it is being used all over this country, and cutting all the universities are doing a lot of stem cell work. Tons of work being done in other countries. So it is revolutionary, just like the computer was when it came in. But it is here now to help us. And so, you know, I just like for people to know the equipment that's anti-aging, and but especially diet. Once again, it always comes back to diet. It's, you know, people, when we mapped out the genome and we thought, okay, we have a recipe of the human body, what we then discovered is that, you know, do we age and have heart conditions and diabetes and osteoporosis because our mother and our grandparents did, or is it because we are carrying the potential for a heart disease, but is it going to be, is that gene going to be silenced or expressed? You do the right things and the gene will be silenced and you'll never develop the heart disease or the macular degeneration or humped over shoulders that, you know, we think are just aging. They're not. We're not supposed to be aging like we are. These bodies were meant to live at least 120 years, and I think longer, because the cell itself doesn't really know how to die. Like if you continued, if every cell, any cell in your body was kept free of toxins, if it was well nourished, it would just go on and on and on and on living. And so what we're doing is we're causing ourselves to age, and I want people to see that. I want them to understand that we were born with a certain amount of prenatal energy. That's inherited. You know, some of us were born with a stronger constitution than others, but whatever this energy is, most of us come out of the womb burning it up right away. We never think to replenish it or, you know, conserve it to a certain degree. And so you get to be 40, 50, 60, and you start seeing serious signs of aging. But we can, so the way we need to think now is, to, you know, like bioidentical hormones, they're thinking, okay, you're deficient, let's put some in. But we can't do what our body, like hormones pulse in and out all day long. We can't duplicate that. It's much, much better to regenerate the organs like the thyroid and the adrenals that are producing those, and the ovaries and testes and so on that are actually producing those sexual hormones. And then, you know, if you rejuvenate those organs, they'll produce the hormones. And that's the way we have to think if we're really going to truly reverse aging. And that's what the book's all about.
And now stem cell therapy in terms of pricing is all over the map. Is that correct? I mean, do you see it ever coming to maybe having some sort of regular, or not regulated, but just some sort of normal price structure?
Yes, I'm sure it'll be like the computers, that it'll come way, way down because there's so many people that are going to be into it. You know, obviously, you're looking at the medical industry controls it, and they want to make money off of it. So the first places that they're looking is to take somebody, say, with juvenile diabetes. Now, can we restore this damaged pancreas so it produces insulin properly? They've already done things like one article I was reading, it was about this young girl, and she was in her 30s, and she had cancer. So they took a larynx from another donor who had died, put her own stem cells all over it. You know, they have to have a structure underneath the stem cell, so they implanted the larynx, and then put her stem cells all over it, and then they completely grew, and then she has like a perfectly normal, can speak normally and everything now. So that's what they're doing at the moment, is they're trying to figure out how to use it in special therapies like that, to restore the vision of the eyes, just everything, really. They're doing everything. But there's probably no other area of worldwide interest right now than stem cells. I think my good friend that I work with, Dr. Leonard Smith, he said a number of times, they're really literally going to have to rewrite medical journals, all the textbooks and everything, because stem cells is so revolutionary.
That's great to hear. What would you tell someone who's in their 30s like me now to start doing in order to age gracefully?
Well, you're already doing it. You have a great attitude. You have a wonderful sense of humor, and you're serving. I think that's one of the most important things. I honestly believe that when people reach the point where they find that it's joyful to serve, and they do it a lot, that all kinds of exciting, fascinating things come to them. Supplements they might need to stay well, recipe, you know, wonderful foods come to them, and you're in the right place. It's almost like we have so much available. The hardest challenge right now is picking out what's right for us. So knowing your own body is very, very important, realizing it's always going to change, and just being tuned into your body, like developing a strong sense of intuition and listening to your body talk back to you and tell you what it needs. Or you can just sit very still. Like I was having trouble sleeping because I have so much on my plate all the time and tend to worry. And so I noticed I was like sleeping, but I was like awake worrying while I was sleeping. And so I just, you know, I was thinking, well, maybe I should take something. And then I realized, and I did, and it didn't work. And then I got real quiet and I sat still and I said, what's going on here? And then this very clear message came up that said, you need to be eating more grains. Because, see, grains make more serotonin in your body, which then turns into melatonin. So for the next 3 days, I ate quinoa and even the sprouted brown rice that I like a lot. You know, it's not on the initial first stage of the diet, but rice is definitely something you want to introduce back in. And by the fourth day, I was sleeping very deeply again. So, you know, I could have intellectually gone to my head and taken things that are good for sleeping, like 5-HTP or GABA, but honestly, the answers are inside of us, but we don't know that. So I would love for people to begin to develop that skill. It's that sixth sense, because it's how we're going to be guided through life.
You know, I've talked about this before, and it's inevitable that, you know, a large group of people in the audience will say, well, I can't feel it. I don't have that sixth sense, like I can't feel it. And so how do you recommend someone kind of get to that point, like really truly feeling their body?
Well, I think, you know, what you have to do is it's a skill that you develop. So you can't just like tune in. Like you don't get in the car and start driving away the first time you've ever been in a car either. But if you are, first of all, you have to be really still and alone. You can't have your mind thinking of 50,000 other things. You can't have TV going and, you know, people, noise in the background and people walking in to talk to you. Really, really have to spend some alone time. And then if something comes up, listen to it and try it out. And you'll probably find so often that it's right that you begin to trust this inner intuition. I think it is easier for certainly in the past, for women to have more of this. And so they traditionally tended to be the healers until the Inquisition and other things came along where men started taking over the healing arts. But today's man, like in your generation, for example, men are much more balanced. Their male and female energy is very, very balanced. So they have stronger intuitions than a couple of generations ago when men had real high testosterone and ready to go to, you know, war at the first drop of a hat. And, you know, different people are on the earth right now, different souls. So we do have this ability. It's just that nobody encourages us to develop it.
Well, great. Well, we've been talking to Donna Gates here. I wanted to point you guys to a few references, but some places that you can go to. If you go to bodyecology.com, so that's BODYECOLOGY.com, you'll see Donna's website, and there's a few places here that I'd like for you guys to check out. First off, there's an anti-aging quiz, and there's a candida quiz that you can check on. You can kind of go through them. I went through them earlier and just, you know, checked all the things. I already had candida, so I knew that I had symptoms from it, probably left over. And so you can check, and then they'll send you a report. And then also there's a whole bunch of great articles. If you go to the articles section, you'll see a drop down, and you'll see, you know, dozens of different situations that you could be dealing with that you can check, and you can get more information. That's where I recommend kind of getting your kind of furthering this information here of what you've heard from Donna speaking about already.
And you know, Kevin, that is really, really important to do that. I probably didn't stress that at all, but first and foremost, you've got to get a certain amount of information. I always tell everybody, we have great products, and they really work well for people, but I always tell my staff that our most important product, in a sense, is the knowledge that we have, because, you know, you get a certain amount of knowledge, and then you can listen to that inner voice just speaking, saying, this is right for me. It's true, though. I mean, there's so much available that you read an article on how you need zinc, and you think, oh, I need zinc. You know, and next thing you know, you have this whole cabinet full of everything out there. But the thing is, food is the first place to start. And I am also a big believer in colon cleansing, because I think we've got to get the toxins out of our body. The bodies, the way they were created once upon a time, weren't created to get rid of the toxins fast enough for the world the way we live today. We have, and so that's why I'm very big on colon therapy. But there's a chapter on that. I have a new book coming out in May on detoxification, where I really go into that whole subject more. But I mean, you're right. You have to be educated. And I guess what I meant when I said you're already living in is that you're thick in the middle of amazing experts who are always giving you information. And you'll when you're 50, 60, 70, 80 years old, you'll probably look very much like you look today.
I hope so.
Yeah, it's good.
Well, Don, I want to thank you so much for your time today. Do you have anything else you'd like to add to share with those who are listening?
No, except just try it for 3 months, you know, give us a try, pay it, you know, just start. I think that people look at body ecology and they think it's kind of overwhelming because we have so much information available if you want it, but the doing isn't that much. There's not that much to do. And we also have a wonderful Facebook, about 10,000 people are on there right now, and a lot of people on there are really knowledgeable, so if you ask a question, you'll get all kinds of answers back, and people need support. When you're trying to make changes in your life, you do need support.
Well, that's great.
Intuition, support, and education.
So I was just going to say that we love some of your products. We have some of them in the Renegade Health Store, and there's also, you can check out the whole product line at bodyecology.com. So, Donna, thanks so much.
Thank you very much, Kevin.
And to everyone else out there, this has been Kevin Gianni. And on behalf of myself and Donna Gates, we wish you a happy day, and we'll talk to you next time. Take care.